With so much on your mind right now, the safety of your family and business should not be one of them. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group's goal is to keep you and the things you love safe. From patrolling your small business and neighborhood to guarding large construction sites and shopping centers, we are here to protect you. That's why we were selected as security for the last three presidential elections. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We worry about your security, so you don't have to.
For African people, nothing important happens without a libation. And so for this very important presentation, we begin by the pouring of libation. We pour libation first to our first ancestor, to that hidden one who, though hidden, manifests in all things as all things, that God goddess idea in the universe by any and all names. To our first ancestor, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the first people on this planet, mothers and fathers of all mankind, flashpoint of the human family. To those ancestors we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our ancestors because they were the ones who first gave birth to the idea of civilization, knew we would need a form of governance, and they nurtured that idea along the Nile until it reached its zenith in Kemet. There they built these gigantic monuments as evidence of that great civilization, and they carved instructions on the walls of temples and tombs for us so we would never forget. To those ancestors we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our ancestors because over time they put together all the tenets of civilization and they took those ideas and left the continent. They were the people of the first Exodus. They left Africa and went all over the world and peopled the world. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. We pour libation, too, to our ancestors because they did not sit on their laurels. They continued to improve, continued to evolve, and at each point of evolution, they again would leave the continent and settle and resettle the planet. They met themselves coming and going. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to those ancestors because over time they found themselves the object of a forced exodus. When they were kidnapped, shackled, cargoed, shipped out of Africa and enslaved in diasporas around the world. To those ancestors we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to the ancestors left at home, the very young, the aged, the infirm, left to reinvent themselves, depleted of us, human resources. But they were enjoined by us in the diasporas, both objects of a global myopia that ruptured the soul of a people as it ravaged a continent. To those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation, too, to those ancestors because over time, they began to remember who and what they were. Because no matter where they had been dropped off, they still retained bits and pieces of who and what they were. They retained that African core that described them. They began to remember bits and pieces of a song. They began to remember lines from a rhythm. They began to remember dances that they did in ancient times. They began to remember those ancient drum beats that they now beat out on bare skin. And so to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to them because they then began to teach each other. They began to resurrect and reconstruct that history and that culture. They became the new Africans wherever they were. They became the new teachers, preachers, archaeologists. The new singers, dancers, the new drummers, the new Jalia. They reconstructed that history and our culture and became new Africans everywhere. So to those ancestors, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation to those ancestors because they are the ones who passed that information on to us. And so we pour libation to those of you who will watch this presentation. Those of you who are the recipients of that pieced together history, of that reconstructed culture. To you, we pour libation, Ashe. Pour libation too to our children and those yet to be born. For they are the ones that you must teach. And you can only teach if you know the history. So to you who are learning the history and are passing on that history, and to our children who are learning that history and will pass that history on to all eternity, for they will call your name in all eternity. To our children, we pour libation. Ashe. Ashe. Ashe-o.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go and what they still must be. The relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Change it, girl, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out. They do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Change it, girl, just you and me.
Listening to Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones. Melanin Live radio broadcast is an affiliate of Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com video platform. Reach out to them at melaninlive@yahoo.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, type in the name of the program you desire to review.
And welcome to another edition of Melanin Live. I'm your host, Lance Jones, and I want to thank you for being with us another night here. I pray you had an achieving day, a blessed day, as I have, despite the COVID and the cold and the snow. I understand in some regions of the country, they got 18 inches. I know my daughter said she had about 16 inches and the other places around the country. So I wish you all a safe and a productive evening and day tomorrow. But thank you again for being with us. I want to talk this evening about, I want to kind of pick up on where we were last week and talk with you for a moment. I'm going to give some people time to come in. We got a couple of guests that's going to be with us, that's going to be joining us, and I'm excited about it. The new president is on the throne. Very exciting time in Washington, D.C. nowadays. Now, I'm not saying whether it's good or bad. It's just an exciting time. You know, the good or bad of it is yet to be seen. History will dictate that. But it is an opportunity for us to get it right. And I'm talking to those African Americans, brothers and sisters. We have a great deal of work to do with ourselves. We don't have time to worry about others. Tonight, we're going to talk about a few things. I want to bounce around, talk about business. I want to talk about the current events, some of the things that are affecting us directly. That is some of the old habits that we may have that we need to shed going in from 2021 and beyond. Make sure that there's renewing of our thinking. And so we're gonna just jump right in. We mentioned the weather, but some of you have had really, I shouldn't say horrible, but really challenging weather. I mean, multiple inches. So I want you to call in and tell us about how you guys are doing as well. Look, you know you can reach us at always, 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. Wanted to join us tonight for a thought-provoking discussion on who we are and whose we are, our thinking in 2021 and beyond. Let's take a critical look as to where we are, where we need to go. You know, sometimes we need to just shed some old habits. You know, every year we make a New Year's resolution, but do we truly make changes in our lives? And you know, that we could see the outward manifestation of a mind having been made up. And it's difficult. I know it's hard to even live in a certain lifestyle all your existence, and now you want to go from one area to another in your life. Your mind, as we grow older, we get more curious, and we look at the time clock of life and realize that, wow, what more can I do? I was sitting with Mr. Joel Dudley Sr. of Dudley Products, the founder, and at his age, in his 80s, he looked at me and said, I got to do more. What more can I do for our people? You know? I got to do more. I got to teach them business. I have to inspire, uplift, and motivate them to be the best that they can be, despite the challenges. Challenges are always going to be there. And so, and being a student of his and many, many others, Michael Roberts, George Frazier, many others, it is something that's near and dear to my heart. That is our resurrection and rise, who we are and whose we are. That old slave mentality that we have, and the internal struggle with oneself to change our mind about our own reality. And I know sometimes I pick on the brothers. I know, brother. But look, I'm not just being thought-provoking with you. I'm talking to myself as well. It's therapeutic, dear brothers. And we have a lot of work to do in our communities. I want to thank Captain Dennis Muhammad of the Peacekeepers, who has called and desired to come back on. We're going to have him on next week. And so I want everyone to tune in. We're going to talk about his work and the work that's being done around the country, and even the work that needs to be done in your community with your brothers as we go out and reach out and extend that hand to our younger brothers in the communities who are just out there living life and trying to figure it out. Well, that's what we're for. We're here to give them guidance, an inspirational word, some examples. You know, one of the things we say to our children, I'm sure all the adults and all the parents out there will know what I'm talking about when I say, you tell the children, don't do as I do, do as I say. But the reality is children do as you do, as they see you do. And so don't kid yourself. So, and I said all that just to say that, yes, we have work to do. And tonight, I hope we can just jump around a bit, talk about a couple of things, and really get your opinion on some things. You know, earlier we had a business meeting, and we talked about getting organized. So, and I said I would mention that this evening. Those of you who are looking to start businesses that haven't gotten started, I want you to think about why you haven't gotten started in your business. Are there some old habits that you have not broken yet? You made a New Year's resolution that this year I'm going to get off my tail and I'm going to start that business this year. And I'm going to change my reality. Every year, many of us do that. What can we do? What can we say? How can we help you to look in the mirror and get started today on resurrecting your life? It is a change. It's very difficult. And I mentioned before, I think the Muslims in the Islamic world, they call it Islamic Jihad. It's not some holy war with guns. It's actually a war within oneself over the impediments of you that we have in our lives. So if you're strung out on any type of illegal drugs and you can't get off, that's a war. You're strung out on alcohol or any other vices. No greater war than the internal struggle with one's own mind and old habits to get off of those things. So it is in business. Very difficult. Why do you want to start? What's your why? That's typically where we start at. When you start talking about, I want to start a business, we ask you why. Why do you need to start? Why do you want to start a business? I know some of you saying, I hear you loud and clear. Some of you saying, look, I want to make the money. I want to do it for my children. I want to do it because I can. I want to do it because I want cars or whatever it is. Why hasn't it been sufficient enough to get you up and going as yet? And so I want to answer some of them. I want to help you tonight answer some of those questions. And then we'll jump into other subjects. But we need you to get that business going, dear brothers and sisters. It's not an option today. Each one teach one. And so as the country shifts, as the norm, the old norms pass away and the new norms set in, the things you used to do today won't suffice. The things you used to do yesterday won't suffice today, brothers and sisters. There are no jobs for you. Artificial intelligence, AI, is taking over, has taken over. So you don't have a choice. Do for self. I remember old saying, do for self or die. And there's enough goods and services among our people that are needed. Just choose one. But don't go in it halfway. Throw yourself all the way in it. That's what business is. Business, when I see business owners, and I happen to be one, I see people who've decided, made a decision to change their lives. For whatever the reason is. Change their lives, change the reality under which they live. And in order to do that, we must first change our thinking. Not just learn business, but change our thinking about ourselves, our value, our norms. We have to get in the mirror and sometimes lay down and just talk to yourself and take it to whomever it is that you worship or whatever your religious preference is. You know? So very, very important in making up your mind that you find somewhere, some outlet internally or externally. Most of it starts on the internal, and then we go into prayer and we do the outward expressions. But in order to change those old habits, brothers and sisters, get rooted, whether it's Afro-worshiping, you know, our roots. And forgive me, it's been a long day, but you all know what I'm talking about. So get rooted in that thing and decide today I'm going to make a decision on my life to change it for the better monetarily and then every other way. And then ask yourself, what's the reason? Because the reason will dictate your sincerity. It'll help you have longevity. If you're changing your life and your reality financially and starting your business and those type of things, and it's done because of your children, it makes you commit more. Any mother, loving mother, loving father is going to do the right thing by the child, right? And so find your why. And business owners and those who are part of the mastermind group, as we are with Mr. Dudley, and we've been bringing that up, the Dudley Mastermind Group. I know we have one in Raleigh, Greensboro starting back up, and we got one in Charlotte. What's your why? The why will tell us how serious you are. Well, I just want to make money. You know, well, you might make money, but you won't have longevity. You know? So once you got that piece in place, get ready. There's one more habit you have to change, brothers and sisters. You have to begin to keep detailed records from day one. Detail records. What do we mean? Well, that means every receipt, every gas receipt, every business receipt, every piece of clothing, every lunch or dinner you would do with a client, keep your receipts. So these are habits that have, new habits have to be formed as we grow and expand personally and professionally. You know? Then go ahead and out there and begin to do research on that industry that you say you want to get into. Do research on that industry. I'm not talking about read a book. That's great. But meet with those who are in that business. Get the firsthand knowledge about how the business is running, what it took for them, how many hours a day they worked. What are some of the potential challenges of going into that line of business? Know where you are financially, how much money you have to invest. Because there is a small investment. You can minimize it. Start. And nowadays, it's even better because you got home-based businesses. Everything is for poor commercial real estate owners. I'm sorry. Zoom is taking over. And then analyze your competitors. See what they're doing. You may have to shop them to check the prices. So as you go around now from one grocery store to another, because you know what the prices are, you have to do the same thing in your business. You have to know what your competitor is doing. And it may not be about undercutting them. It may simply be about a value-added service so that you get the price points that you want. Yeah. So analyze your customer base, your competition in your area. just trust me, whatever business you're thinking about going into, there's someone within 5-10 miles that's doing the same thing. You need to know. Right now, we're just talking about business. We're talking about Black business ownership. I want to inspire you all to really, brothers and sisters, think about the fact that there's no jobs. Think about the fact that it is incumbent upon you and it's mandatory today that you reinvent yourself. It's not something that you hope to do. This is a must in order to stay relevant and alive and have any type of real life for yourself, your family, your children. There is a thing called risk versus reward. You know, and in business, it's going to be risk. Financially, time-wise, and one of the most valuable things you have in life in terms of business, your business life, is time. Don't let a lot of people waste your time. Time is valuable. It is not that you don't do your civic work, your duties, trying to do the right thing with your brothers, your community, because we're a community. But time is very valuable. So you allocate time for certain folks, certain activities. During business hours, that's what that is. How do I know? I took up time years ago. Friends would come by, and I'd take 2-3 hours out the office and, you know, bunch of stuff. I said, I got to stop that. This time is valuable. So if it's going to start that business, and I encourage you to go ahead and do so, just remember these few points. What's your why? Why do you want to start it? Is it the family, your children? You don't want your children to go through what you went through coming up? Analyze your competitor. See what they're doing. That's working. Are they on the internet? Do you have an internet presence? A blog? You know? How's your uniform looking if you're in security, for example? Understanding the risk versus reward as you grow your business. Calculate your risk. There's always some measure of risk. And so we have to give that considerable thought. The what ifs. Play the what if game in your mind about the business. If I go this direction, I can run into this way. You all know them. Those of you who are in business understand the risk versus reward. That includes having to be smart and thinking about your business, thinking about the severe economic potential causes. COVID-19. COVID hit the business community worldwide. And every one of us, everyone, lost clients. They called and canceled their contracts or they suspended service or whatever it is because none of us knew what was going on. How do we prepare now for the future COVID? Future shutdowns. See, the first time is shame on us, on them. Next time, shame on us for not being prepared. The writing's on the wall, brothers and sisters. There are no jobs. You must start a business. Whatever it is. And there's plenty of goods and services. You know, we are creative people. All right? Manufacturing. Selling the face masks. I see a lot of brothers out there doing that now. The restaurants have been decimated. Just about a lot of industries, except security industry and maybe a couple of others, all but shut down. And so I would invite you and encourage you to be creative. Always look to improve current products. And recognize that you don't know everything, so do your research. You know what happens more often than not, dear brothers and sisters? We have dreams. I was always taught dreams are where men and women make themselves. You know, the dream that when you sleep and it transports you from where you are to that other location. So much so that you're sleeping in the bed and this so-called dream or this high revelatory experience occurs about starting that business or making that change in your life. high revelatory experience. So much so that if it's one that has you in danger and running from a dog or whatever, you wake up sweating. Like you were really in danger, but you're there in the bed. So this is the power of the God. This is the power of the mind. That you could see something that's only in the mind. You could see it, fully see it, and experience it. And as I said, wake up sweating and huffing and puffing, like, but you're in the bed asleep. What if we can tap into that mind, brothers and sisters? Will you tap into that mind? Would you pray to the God, not the God outside of yourself, the God, the king that resides, whoever the king is on your dome? Can you do that? Will you do that? And what's your why? See, when I say, will you do it, I have to ask the why. Why would you do it? Why would you want to be successful? Why would you want to start a business? Why would you want to change old habits? Why would you want to get off drugs? Why would you want to stop drinking excessively? What's the why? Well, today there's no jobs, brothers and sisters. The prisons are filled with us. It's the new, what they call the prison industrial complex. Where they charge, and you all have family members, you know. $1.25, 75 cents to $1.25 a day. Making furniture and paint and products. You call the insurance company to get a new policy now. Guess what? Guess who's answering the phone? An inmate at a local federal or state prison. This is how this thing works. And the only ones who can change this reality for us is us. And I don't mean to preach to you, but I really want to encourage us. Because, look, I'm not just talking to you. I'm talking to myself. And in a minute, we'll open up the lines for you all to chime in. But I'm telling you what I've lived. So I want to give those of us who have lived this as well and have greater, more greater experience than myself, certainly I'll give you an opportunity shortly to chime in. But I really want to help us to see our greatness and also that change is going to happen. But what type of change? I'm talking about change that is good, developmental, and prosperous for us. Change does not always be better. Change does not always mean better. It simply means different. But in this case, we're telling you and asking you to join us, all of us, as we begin to improve our lives and our thinking. Once that mind is changed, the rest will follow. So be creative. Stay focused, brothers and sisters, on that mission. Let nothing deter you. So if you got the business going and it didn't go for the first 3 months, there were no clients, then don't quit. Remove quitting out of your vocabulary, out of your mind. There's no such thing as failure. It's only a failure when you quit. Never give up. Stay focused on the topic or the mission at hand. And I guarantee you, see, look, every person, you get on the internet tonight, whoever's a millionaire that you know, billionaire, every one of those millionaires, or whoever the successful person is in your life, has failed multiple times. They're habitual, and depending on how rich they are, they're habitual failures. And I think it was Karl Marx that said, success is being willing and able to go through the ups and downs and the failures without giving up on that. So you have to be willing to go through the ups and downs in business. And if you stay the course and see them as stepping stones rather than hurdles, again, back to the mind. So see those things as stepping stones rather than hurdles, you'll find yourself becoming more and more successful. And then it's incumbent upon you and I to bring our brothers and sisters along who are not thinking like us. You can clearly see the difference. So we must stay focused and let nothing deter us from our dream. And it will happen. Prepare to make sacrifices. I'm just going through a few things that I made notes of because some of the things I had to deal with. And if I had to deal with it when I was starting out, I'm sure some of you who are just starting out, and those of you who have businesses, can bear witness. We'll open up the line soon. But prepare to make sacrifices. Yeah, whatever that idea was that led you to think about that business, that vision, that great vision that you have, it has to be struggle. Nothing, even the birth of a child, as beautiful as that is, mama went through pain and suffering, struggle, and sacrifice. And so that's a given. The only way to escape it is to have not been born. So let's get a worthy goal now, whatever that goal is. I'll be glad to answer your questions here shortly. Just want to go through this, give us some food for thought, inspire those of you who really want to get started in business, who want to change their lives, been trying to get a job for the last year, nothing's happening. Find that niche. And if you pray on it and ask for it, ask the ancestors, ask the God. He or she will give you the answer. But then you got to roll over, write it down so you don't forget it. I keep a notepad near my bed and my phone. I can hit a button and just because I don't want to lose it. This is true. 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning. I grab the phone with a thought. I'll cut it on, make that statement, and go back to bed. Because those are the hours in which God takes the body, the mind, and transports it to another place and time. Or he gives you, she gives you this, and I ain't got no problem with the duality, the male and the female side of God. But in those hours where you're laying and resting and the idea comes to you, great idea. And you know it's a great idea. But you fail to write it down and you fail to get up tomorrow morning and begin to research it and make it happen. Whose fault is that? Then you're wondering why a year later you're still in the same condition. I'm not throwing off on anyone. I love you all. You're my brothers and sisters. But we got to make some real decisions. Some, we got to do things differently today in order to survive tomorrow. Because the onslaught is on. You heard Minister Farrakhan and many others now saying don't take the vaccine. Not going to get into that fight, but it just is. And we as black folk have enough examples throughout the years to be questionable about some vaccine that's been produced in record time. And so we'll leave that alone for now for another show. But let us prepare for sacrifice. And it's through going through that pain of birth, birthing the business, birthing a new mindset, going through that agony, man, of breaking that old habit that we realize a new reality. It's not going to be easy, but it's worth it. One or two more things, and I'll leave it alone. Render a great service, man. A great service. I'm going to say mediocre, our dear beloved brother, big brother, elder statesman, man of God, Brother Martin Luther King Jr. said, if you're a street sweeper, you sweep those streets. You know, I guess, yeah, I forgot, you all know where I'm going with that. Like it's, you know, golden streets. You sweep it like it's never been swept before. Do a great job, not a mediocre, but don't just do it because, and every letter, for example, I had an experience today where one of my reps had written a letter, typed a letter, and it was a demand letter for payment. It was a little, you know, a little rough, and blunt and to the point. That may have its place, brothers and sisters. Unless you don't give a hoot about the client, and you should always take care of your clients, never lose who you are, your patience, your style. When they go up and get, you know, excited and things go crazy, you stay calm it comes back down with you. Render a great service. Why? Because clients are going to refer you to other clients. Render a great service. How do you render a great service? Well, how about their birthdays being put in the system where you send a card out from the business? How about holidays? How about just having thank you gatherings after this COVID thing? Good to see you. Thank you for being a longtime customer. Little trinkets. How about doing the service jam up? Wonderful service to the client who hired you to do whatever service that is. Go the extra mile, brothers and sisters. I've been in business 17 years now. That's the way it must be done if you're going to build on your clients and not just throw them away and get new clients. At some point, you're going to build a relationship like that. So render great service, not good service, not mediocre. Be the leader. We have served, I'm glad to say, we just did Congress folks in Washington, D.C. at the inauguration. We've served now Obama, both of his elections. We were selected to do President Trump's inauguration in Charlotte, North Carolina. However, it went virtual, so we didn't have to do what we contracted to do. But the fact is, we're qualified. Our dear beloved sister Cicely Tyson, our client, we've done work with her, Jay-Z, Al Sharpton, Reverend Jackson, Cornel West. All of these are clients. Why am I saying to brag and boast? No, I'm saying if you do a great job, then that greatness becomes known to others because other people talk to other people, to their circle of influences. So do a great. Lastly, brothers and sisters, and we'll move on to the next subject. Be consistent. Be consistent. Not just because the money then becomes a byproduct of what you do. The money just becomes something that's coming in because you rendered the service. But if you focus on the money rather than focus on being consistent and doing a great job, the money comes. Money's not an issue. I, like you, like many of you, the first in the family that we know of, who's ever done, record numbers in a business, if we had one. First one in the family, period. That's something we brag about. It's something that we put on our shoulders and put the children on top of our shoulders, and we stand on the shoulders of others and propel them. I said, damn, look, if I've done this number, let's say, for example, me. And if I've done a million, five, whatever it is, I want the children to do 3 and 5 and 10 and 20, particularly if they've matriculated in the institutions of higher learning. I expect you to come out here and as a brother say, you feel me? So, brother and sister, do a great service. Be consistent. And it's real easy today. You guys have put up a website. You can look us up, Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection. You can look us up, Melanin. We're on this new thing now. We call it TikTok, Facebook, all the platforms. You can reach us. Time for Awakening is everywhere. Because it needs to be, and it is indeed time for an awakening. I was thinking about something I read at the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. I think the numbers are still the same. It says that new business owners, approximately 20% of new business owners fail. And I was suggesting to you the reason that they failed is because they quit. Because they had a bump in the road and they gave up. to the very vision that the God gave them to start the business with, that they trusted that vision. But when it got hard, it looks like the money ran out. When it was time to go to bed and they were tired, they gave up. And then they said in the next 5 years after that, another 45 or so fail. None of us start a business, start anything in life to fail. We try to hold on as long as we can. Now, if you have to shut it down to readjust, do that. But never give up on your dreams and your hopes, your aspirations, and things that could change your life. Never give up on that. And if you have children, they're watching you. And again, as we said earlier, they're not just going to do as you say do. They're going to do as you do. So if you're smoking cigarettes and doing all these negative things around the children, you're telling them not to do it. Good luck. Good luck. So lift our standards, brothers and sisters. They say only 25% of new businesses actually make it 15 years. They're talking about our community, the African-American community. It's the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics. So I hope I've said something on this part of the show that inspires you to make a change in your life. Because if you do that, brothers and sisters, you make a change in the lives of your children, your spouses, our community. And then we begin to reestablish that community again, where we own everything in our community, as our dear brother, great brother, Dr. Claude Addison, talked about. He's a reminder to us, because this is what we've done all our lives. It's throughout history. We were a community until our thinking has been stolen. That someone else poured their lifestyle, their ideology, their norms, their ways into us through the literature and the educational system, that we don't even know who we are today. You think you're just a Negro. You're not. I can't wait. You know, we have business in Sierra Leone and Ghana, yet I've never been there. I can't wait. I talked to a friend of mine I went to, and you all who have gone over to Ghana and gone to the point of no return and the what's called slave castles. I can't wait. One dear friend of mine, very successful brother, very, very successful. I'm talking like billions. He said, brother, how was it? How was God? How was the slave dungeon? He said, well, Brother Lance, after I stopped crying, he's probably in his 60s, early 76. So after I stopped crying, I got mad, wanted to get even. What they've done to our people, and we have no idea. So we're here in America, born, and this has become the norm for us. And Africa is calling us back home with our business ideas. They need us. I invite you all to visit. We had them on our show, Africa's Brain Bank, ABB.com, Africa'sBrainBank.com. They need us. They need our spirit, our knowledge, our education. We have things and experiences that they don't have on the continent. And we got to recognize the oneness among us. I know you're going to start that business and you're going to want to serve others, and that's fine. It's a business. But at some point, dear brothers and sisters, once you get that business going, set up with a black network that other business owners and patrons can come to you and you can go to them. This is the renewing of our minds. There must be a renewing of the mind. So buying black becomes reality now. It is said if we began to spend our money among ourselves within 1 year, we create over 1 million millionaires. I didn't say those are the norms. That's what's said at the bureaus. You all Google that. So I hope I said something in this hour that really resonates with you all. That we are responsible for changing the economic condition, the mental condition of our children going forward. And I don't want to be laying horizontal. I'm sure you don't. Having not assisted or laid the foundation for that to happen in your family. Your personal family, then your extended family. Because all of us are family. I need shelter, food, and water just like you do. And until we see the similarities among ourselves, then we'll all be out here individualistically fighting against a system that we know is corrupt and wrong and all this other stuff. All right? So I thank y'all. I want to just open up the lines for anyone that's out there and wanted to comment anything I said. Certainly, I didn't mean to hurt anyone's feeling. If I did, I apologize. Just wanted to share being a business owner and encourage others of my people to go into business and provide goods and services for our people. We fell into the trap in the civil rights movement where our goal was just to be able to go where they go and buy from their stores. Well, that was then. This is now. All right? So none of us should have that mentality today. It's not about, you know, getting along and that kind of thing, but it's about having your own and establishing a new reality and a new mindset crucial to our existence. And so that leads me to our next discussion, which is, and we can always talk business. I love talking to new business owners and those who are thinking about going into business. I will always tell you, think big. There's a book called The Magic of Thinking Big. Yes, it is indeed magic. It makes you grow in your thinking, take on new ways. The Magic of Thinking Big. I would encourage you to get that book. And another book that I read often, I Am, I Can, and I Will, Walking by Faith, by Mr. Joel Dudley Sr., a man who started and built a $35 million empire with $10. I know you say it's impossible. How could that be? Well, he had a dream. Like all of us did when we started that business. And he never gave up on that dream. He started cutting soap and mixing potions together in his house in his sink. Had faith enough to take that little stuff he just poured and melted down out to the world. This is faith. He took it out to the world and the world began to buy it. And his people started saying, African-Americans started saying, and African. Started saying, wow, look at this. Huh? And so they saw him moving, this man who stuttered, didn't have the gift of gab. He stuttered his way through, only went to the fourth grade. But he believed that he can achieve what was on his mind. So in the second chapter of his book, it's called Walking by Faith, Walk by Faith. He asked the question, do you want to make a difference in this world? Do you want to make a difference in this world or for your family? Do you want to help change the lives of other people, family members or otherwise? What are you doing here? What are you doing on the planet? What will be the narrative? Have you helped to change the narrative in your family and in your community? And if not, why not? And so all of this business, still talking about business now. And so the lines will be open here shortly. We're going to take a station break in about 3 minutes, come back. And any topic you want to talk about, ask me about. Otherwise, we're going to keep moving, talking about us and how we must be the best us we can be. as a people. Not an option today. We talked about artificial intelligence. We talked about all of the onslaughts that we're dealing with today. All the witchcraft, if you will. Who are you? What do you want? Why do you want it? And do you have the faith enough to make it happen? What will be your contribution to your family and to our people and to humanity, indeed? Does everyone else benefit from what we do? Africa feeds the entire world. They try to act like Africa doesn't have anything, doesn't know, you know, it's just some people hanging on trees and ignorant. No, not at all. The world depends on Africa. America, France, and Germany, and China now is there, and the Indians, everybody. Depending on little Africa for their existence, their gold, their coltan, their oil, their gas, their silver, their you name it. Africa supplies to the world and gets nothing in return. Kind of reminds us of us here in America, huh? Always voting Democratic and asking for nothing in return. Nothing. Therefore, we continue to beg from crumbs from Table of Thieves, who are taking all they can from the continent. So that's why we must change our minds. There must be a renewing of our thinking, a love of self having been formed in our mind. Go ahead, dear brother. Someone had a comment or question? The mic is open. You have about 1 minute, then we'll go to break. And so I pray that I've said something to the family to get you started in that business. Our people need services. Get you to change your mind about whatever activity, whatever it is we're doing that prevents us from being the best us that we can be. All right? And so if y'all just stay with us, we're going to go right to a station break, come right back. We'll open up the lines. We got one more subject we want to cover to help us go from where we are to where we want to go in 2021. All right, just stay tuned. We'll be right back.
With so much on your mind right now, the safety of your family and business should not be one of them. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group's goal is to keep you and the things you love safe. From patrolling your small business and neighborhood to guarding large construction sites and shopping centers, we are here to protect you. That's why we were selected as security for the last 3 presidential elections. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We worry about your security, so you
don't have to. What you're calling African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen. listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children to jump the very best they can. Just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. Away. Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. Change it, girl, just you and me.
Here's your time for an awakening media lineup. Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, with host Brother Oshi. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Same time, same place. Continued Monday lineup, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Acres of Diamonds with host Brother Jihad Ahmed. 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Black Therapy Central, host Dr. Mawia Kambom and Sister Nataki Kambom. 9 p.m. till 10 p.m. Conversation Reparation. First and third Mondays. On Tuesday, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers. On Thursday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Melanin Live with host Lance Jones, co-host Boniswa Ayan. Fridays, 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening with creator of Time for an Awakening and host Brother Elliot, co-hosted by Brother Richard. Saturday, 4 p.m. till 6 p.m., Black Sister Talk with host Wanda Chambers. 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., The Elders of Sankofa. And Sunday, 7 p.m. till 9 p.m., Time for an Awakening, host Brother Elliot and co-host Brother Richard. Check us out, get informed.
With so much on your mind right now, the safety of your family and business should not be one of them. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group's goal is to keep you and the things you love safe. From patrolling your small business and neighborhood to guarding large construction sites and shopping centers, we are here to protect you. That's why we were selected as security for the last three presidential elections. Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group. We worry about your security, so you don't have to.
You are listening to Melanin Live with host Chief Lance Jones. Melanin Live radio broadcast is an affiliate of Black Reality Think Tank, which operates on the timeforawakening.com video platform. Reach out to them at melaninlive@yahoo.com. All of our programs are archived. Just go to www.timeforawakening.com, access the search portal, type in the name of the program you desire to review.
Brother Lance, you're on the air. Brother Jones, Lance Jones, you're on the air.
I want to talk about ourselves and just some self-reflection
the whole time,
and some things maybe that we need to stop doing.
Brother Jones, your mic was muted.
Change our mind about. And so we started off with talking about walk by faith. And that in everything that we do, the first thing is that everything that we see, do, have, was once a thought. First thoughts, and then things. That creative force in us that allows us to think of a thing and then work diligently to bring it into, from our mind to concrete reality. I think sometimes we've lost that gift. There was a time grandma and grandpa, they would make jobs. We, our fathers, were the bricklayers. I remember the times that they would do the sidewalk and build a porch, steps. We were the carpenters, the masoners, the woodworkers, the factory workers, farmers. We're doing none of that now. And it's desperately needed. The lines are open. Any questions, any comments on what we said, any rebuttals, we're open to any discussion whatsoever. This is the People's Connection. We are indeed live. The melanin in this room is live, and we're at the time of the awakening. Any comments? The line is open. Just jump right in. And we'll engage you. We'll have an open discussion about whatever it is. So on your mind today, it's your line, and we want to hear from you. So if all things are thoughts, what are we thinking about? What's on your mind? What is it that you want to improve in your life? What's not going right in your life? Unless everything's just going fine and it's all good. So as you walk in this walk, wherever you are mentally, faith that is in yourself, not just in some higher God and the God that rests, the king that's on your dome, that faith fuels you. Faith makes bad good and good better because you get started on yourself. Many of us don't get started. You have to carry the right spirit, brothers and sisters. You have to have the right spirit. If all things are thoughts, what are you thinking about? What have you created? How do you handle adversity? How do you handle disappointment? Toward each other. I'm not talking about the larger community. Today, we're focusing on us. When your ignorant brother says something or does something, we're always taught to think five times before we do one thing. Think five times to get a chance to subtract and add and multiply and deduce, come up with the proper answer, a reasonable answer or method to achieve what you're trying to achieve. Think five times before you act once. Think positive thoughts. So all of this is needed in the first hour, what we talked about in the first hour with business. It's needed in our relationships, right? And so any comment? Some people need to hear your spirit, need to hear your voice, your question. There are people who have the same question that you're thinking about that they're not asking. And so you feel free to jump right in,
Greetings, brother.
Peace, dear brother. How are you?
Peace. Very well, thank you, sir. I'm calling from a little town in Henderson, North Carolina.
Oh, brother, thank you for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure, brother. And thanks to the request of Dr. Bruce Bridges, who has invited me to be on, which I enjoyed his last session last Tuesday evening. Very, very likely. Thank you for having this platform. Very, very relevant and timely, of course. I just want to share an experience and insight. You know, we talk about businesses and doing for self, which is very, very realistic this day and time, more so than ever. I was working, are you familiar with the town that Mr. Floyd McKissick was running at one point, Soul City?
Indeed. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, I was working with Floyd on that project. I was working with the architect firm that was co-partner with him called Madison & Madison International. Are you familiar with them?
Yeah. No, I'm not.
Okay. At one point, they were the largest black architect and engineering firm in America. And yes, sir. Matter of fact, they did the U.S. Embassy in Senegal, contract with the airport and Atlanta, past the airport there. And they had offices in Miami, Chicago, New York, Philly, D.C. You know, very widely, worldly known. When they first got started at Howard University by two black brothers from Birmingham, Alabama, they couldn't find, the Caucasian would not fill them a drafting table. So they had to use doors off of abandoned buildings as a drafting table. So they eventually grown tremendously. But the point that I'm saying, they were partnered with Floyd, and I was working on that project as an assistant architectural planner. And, of course, it was a 3,600-acre. And that was utilized in development and co-funded by HUD, Housing Urban Development.
Yes.
They received initially $50 million and were to get another $30 million to complete the project. And a lot of it, I want to share some of the history because a lot of people are not aware and wonder what happened, how was it abandoned, how did it get debunked, and what happened. I just want to share a little bit about that. Soul City is actually was in Warren County, which is about 15 miles from my home here. And it's a 99% agrarian base, mostly farmers. And it was one out of 100 counties in North Carolina. It was at 1.99 in literacy and education and economic income. That's back in the early 70s. And one of the reasons that brought Florida to that particular area, which is in a very strategic location, right off of Interstate 85, about a mile and a half from there, the southern and northern railway system was right there on the property, 2 hours from Virginia Beach, from the coast, shipping out. It was a very strategic location. However, back in the early 70s, Floyd initially started in a little trailer, in a little top of a hill, mud. It was just rural area, just a mud. It was a plantation. It was owned by a plantation owners of Duke and Green plantation owners back that time. And eventually started buying parcels from different people from around the area, residents, and selling some of their farmland. And it grew, and it had waterway system, street called Major Freedom Highway, Liberation Road, very beautiful rolling hills area out there, and a farm, used to be a farm plantation, a beautiful location. And the reason I'm bringing it up is because a lot of us are migrating to the south now, or to different areas, who are getting old and generation finding somewhere to reside. My input into Soul City, you had to put your energy into it, you had to put your spirit into it because of the viability of it at that time. Except now, I'm not knocking Floyd's agenda. There was some conflict and things that could have resolved to make it even more viable that he and I didn't see eye to eye. He would ask me at some point because Floyd's goal was to bring in a lot of engineering and high-tech companies from the Research Triangle area, Durham and Raleigh. He was whining and dining them every weekend, paying $300-$500 at this place called the Middleburg Steakhouse.
Yes.
So, and, you know, in that area, it was an hour away from educational places, recreational, social facilities. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to tell Floyd, listen, man, you know, you're spinning your wheels. These guys are not going to come down here. Number one, they wanted to change the name from Soul City to something else because of the so-called stigma they have on Soul, that word. So I told Floyd, I said, listen, man, don't let them take that away because Soul comes from the Latin word soltis, which means life force. You know, whatever color it is, it's a life spiritual force that is generated through anybody. So he bought into them. Okay. Number two, I worked and did the last research for the EIS, the Environmental Impact Statement, and which deal with all the topographical demography and every aspect of the viability statistics in that area. You know, the, even the soil. And everything, and the environment, terrain, recreational facilities, everything in that area to justify it in the EIS, Environmental Impact Statement, and how it would affect the community. Mm-hmm. So now Floyd was saying, no, we're going to get them down here. They got to come in, and that'll give us economic boom because at that time, that was a boom in that industry, research and technical IBM and all the corporations there. So I told Floyd, I said, they're not coming. And I had a vision. I said, I'm going to go out, which I did. I went out and contacted about 70 different farmers in the surrounding areas and within the 10-mile radius of Soul City, in within Warren and Vance County, which is a neighboring county. And, of course, Soul City is like right on the Virginia border as well.
Right.
So I... Warren County, that is. So I told Floyd, I said, listen, I went to all these farmers, and they were sitting on their porch, minimum older people, and they said, and I suggested to them if we could utilize their farm. And they had carbine, tractors, all type of equipment just sitting out there in the field, in the sheds, riding away. And they were happy to lay this, thinking that, or hoping that we could come in and subsidize their equipment and generate crops, and they would help. Even give them something to do. They say, oh, my children going up north, and I would love to have, you know, to have something like this happen.
Yeah.
So I suggested that to Floyd, you know, and I said, Floyd, listen, I got a 99% approval acceptance from these farmers. You know, it's a 99% agrarian base. We can start our own crop, our own food line. And the thing that Floyd told me, it's always stuck in my mind. He said, no, brother, we don't want to go backwards. I'm like, oh, man, you know. And I tried to present that to him twice, even with my names of the farmers. I showed him a report. I showed him the survey that I took, the locations. I did a whole graphic of where they were and a plan of action, how we can implement this. So I just thought I'd throw that out there because, number one, it has some development still going on there, some companies that come in. Oh, and one more thing. The reason why it did not reach at that point when we submitted last EIS because we were projected to have, according to the initial agreement to HUD, 125 residents. We only had 98 at that time, and we was booming. But Jesse Helms, as you know, the senator at that time,
yes,
he saw that loophole. And he said, no, why give them an extra $30 million when they can't meet their growth projections? So that pulled the rug out. And I thought a lot of people need to be aware of that, what pulled the rug out, that ingenious concept of a new model development town, which still has potentials, still have potentials. And subsequently, a lot of people may not know, there was a senator here, his name, not Banks, what was his name? I can't think of right now, but he passed not too long ago. It'll come to me, but he gathered funds to create a state prison at the entrance of Soul City, which is there now. A state prison, and 90% of us are there. So, what is this? I can't think of this right now. Forgive me. It'll come to me.
Problem.
Somebody on the line probably can help me with that. But anyway,
State prison is still there, huh?
Steel prison is still there, active. Matter of fact, it's one of the most highest employer in this area, you know, in the state prison theater. And matter of fact, at one point we had a building in Soul City before the prison was, which subsidized with, they had a contract with the government to do parachutes and Army and Navy paraphernalia, which also created jobs. And but now that building is used by the prison complex industry for, you know, what they're doing with that in that prison industry, and they're hiring them to do 20 cents an hour, whatever they manufacture there. So that building, which is called Soul Point One. And but however, we did bring in some brothers from different parts of the world, from Nigeria and Ghana, to help in their engineering skills and building the new fire station that is still existing there, which is a community rural fire station, which is a volunteer fire station now. And but it has a golf, not a golf course, it has tennis courts, swimming pool, basketball courts, the recreation facilities. But then there was a health facility there, which people go there and get teeth pulled out, a dental work, rather, for a dollar, for rural people, subsidized health, medical treatment. Now, that building is abandoned. Nothing is there. There was a little shopping condo, a strip mall. It is nothing there. So I thought out there that, you know, it is an alternative for us as a people who are looking somewhere to retire, to come down and at least survey the area. It's the Manson Jewelry exit right off Interstate 85. Mm-hmm. And it is a very beautiful location. You will have to see it to really appreciate and drive through it. Have fire hydrants there, streets that are just going to dead ends, nothing there. Mm-hmm. But it still has a lot of beautiful homes. And even has a senior center complex there for senior citizens that is there live.
So is that a black community there?
Predominantly, yes, sir. Predominantly black, yes, sir. But I just thought out there as a site with people going up and down 85, just take a mile off and come down to Soul City off the Manson Jewelry exit. I don't know the number of that road, but Bounce. The son's name was Frank Bounce. Okay, he was the one that he fought a few years ago. He was a senator that helped get that fund. He saw the opportunity. And I don't know why he would bring a prisoner with many jobs, but alternatively could have been done with that particular Soul tech building, which was like 10,000 square foot facility that we used for this office and industrial purposes. We still could have created jobs, but it is a slap in the face to see that that's what's there. But yet, down the road, where the predominant residential section and recreation facility, there's two ponds, two small lakes there. Beautiful, very peaceful, serene community.
Mm-hmm.
No crime, but it's, I would say, about maybe at least 200 residents, maybe 300 residents are there now.
Wow. Let me ask you this. The the prison that's there, what industry do they serve? They specialize in, you have prison farms, you have prisons that are...
This is an in-house where they manufacture, I'm not sure, but small items. I'm not sure if it could be military shirts, but you don't see them out in the community. They're busts from across the street from the major residential prison complex to the industrial complex, which is, you know, barbed wire fenced all over with the rope around fences. There's bust over there, and you don't see what they're doing. What they're manufacturing.
Hi, Trace.
Thank you, Trace, for being on. But that's not new for the prisons. You know, prison, that's the new industry now.
Yes, sir.
So I shouldn't say now. It's been that way for a while. That's why we've been talking tonight about business ownership. Prison, you know, when you look at the prison industrial complex, both private prisons and the government-owned prisons, all of them serve one purpose, and that is to get as many employees and or prisoners in there as possible, because they the prisoner makes the average prisoner is making 75 cents to $1.25 per hour, but per day.
Per day, yes, right.
And so, and when you think about that, and they're making paint and paste and glue and clothes and you name it, everything that you can probably used to get from DuPont or other places are made now in the prison.
Yes,
even
sir.
Call centers. So mm-hmm. you'll be calling some insurance company, and the person's taking your information is an inmate at a local prison. And so I tell people this is the biggest game that's being played on us. In the name of law enforcement and policing, or rendering, you know, making sure that we're safe by putting these prisons. So, you know, I said one day, I said, you know, we should have, if we have to have prisons, and maybe we do, particularly if you're not going to take the child and teach them right from the beginning in the school systems, change the condition of things, that we could stop, you know, having all this need and deprivation in our thinking, and we're going out trying to steal and do dope to forget our horrible lives. And so all of that, knowing that the prison industrial complex is growing, we fill those prisons. They were trying to put a prison here in Greensboro one time, and I was running for office. They wanted to put a youth facility in Greensboro area. And I was dead flat against it. And because I knew, you know, that sets up the psychology, the criminal mindset in there, because it's all that's around you. And so that's the new norm now, these prisons. And we, in our silly, in our lack of knowledge, we vote for it. Yeah, we need crime control. We need to lock them up. But it's your children that's being locked up.
Same.
The silly little things.
And
so we have a lot on our plate. And I thank you, brother, for bringing that good news. There's a black city. What's the name of that city? Soul City.
Soul City, North Carolina. Yes, sir.
And so we may look at that as a good retreat or retirement location. But we were talking about earlier business. And prison is, in fact, a business. I have a guest that I heard her come on. Her name is Miss Tracy, and she's the owner of Jazzy Private Catering. Miss Jazzy Catering, you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for coming on tonight. I just wanted to highlight you for a moment because I was able to buy some of your pastries, and I said, well, I'd love to talk to you and share with our people. And I want to highlight businesses and share where you are and that type of thing. So tell us how you got started in the business. Who was your mentor?
Okay. Good afternoon, evening, everybody. I got started about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And it started out, my mentor, he is still my mentor as today. I don't get to talk to him as much as I used to, but Mr. Joel Dudley, Sr.,
I know him well.
That has the Dudley products. I started at his house, and I started there catering for the meetings, and I would cater on Tuesdays and Sundays, dinner and lunch. And mm-hmm. I read this book, starting out, Think and Grow Rich, for 6 hours. And after I read the book for 6 hours, it enlightened me on a lot of things that came to my mind of having my own business, like Mr. Dudley did. Mm-hmm. He inspired me to read the book, so I did. And that's when I decided that I wanted to come up with something of my own with my own name on there. So that's how I got started and started right in his kitchen. And
wow.
I started off with one thing, and I said I was going to try a cake. Actually, it wasn't a homemade cake. It was a box cake.
Uh-huh.
And so I took it and critiqued it and made my own and went out and sold. I did like $100 in one day.
Uh-huh.
So when I did that, I said, if I could do $100, I can probably do like $300 or $400 in a day. So I started doing regular cakes, Then I started doing cookies. Then I went from doing regular cookies to organic cookies and vegan food cooking. I love to cook, and I enjoy everything that I do about it. Going out, selling them, baking them from home, and then going out selling it to the community. And I service Greensboro, High Point, Winston, Charlotte, Clemens, and I try to meet new people every day. Wow. So that's pretty much how I got started and just being persistent. The groundbreaking of it was doing the door-to-door when I did door-to-door with Mr. Dudley. I did it 7 years.
Then let's take a moment to unpack that. When you say door-to-door, explain what you were doing door-to-door.
I was selling the hair care products door-to-door. I would do it 7 days a week. You go out and you knock on doors, and you have your product, and you show them the product, and then after that, you sell them what you have based on your knowledge about the product.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how it was done. And you were self-employed. You made your own money. So that's how we did that.
Would you say that type of selling is needed today?
Of course, sure. I think cold calling is always a good thing to have because you're meeting new people. It builds courage. It builds self-esteem. It just puts a lot of motivation into yourself to go out and do, the impossible, things that you think that you could never do.
That's right. We talked earlier about that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying this is something to motivate yourself and being persistent and doing what you need to do to grow as a business owner.
Mm-hmm. And, I got to commend you because you did something many won't do. Get started. Right. So often we think about it. We have a dream and we wake up and we throw the dream in the trash. We don't get up and go and chase it and make it happen. It's just something that a passing thing. Well, you didn't do that. You knocked on that door every day, strangers. And that takes, what does that do? Does that build courage? And what does that do for a person?
It builds courage, builds wisdom, initiative. Just things that you didn't have stored into you. And then when people look at you and they see what you're trying to do, that inspires them to want to go out and do their own business as well. And Mr. Dudley, he always installed a lot of great things. I've learned so much from Mr. Dudley, reading the books, different books. He would give me a different book to read, and those books help. Dressing accordingly, how to dress, when you go out and sell, having the right spirit, the right attitude, and he always say, send your spirit out first. And, because people know when you're in a good mood and they know when you're in a bad mood. But when you have that right spirit, your right spirit attracts people to you.
Mm. Wow. And so you just kept up that method of selling door to door and transitioned to your own products and your own business.
Right. Yes.
Wow.
Also,
so what's an average day for you? What time to start? What time to end?
I'm sorry, say that again.
What's an average day for you look like? Time to start, what time to end? What are you doing during that day?
Average day is normally about 300 or 400 a day. Mm-hmm. It started out when I just did 100, but I had to really push myself. I had to be persistent and say I can do more than that. You got to drive, you got to be ambitious and really want what's out there. The sky's the limit.
Mm-hmm. So, and what time does your day start?
My day starts at 7:00 in the morning.
What time do you normally come in?
I get home. My day starts at 7, and then I get home around 12 or 1. So, but far as selling out, it Sometimes I sell out in an hour. Sometimes I sell out in 2 hours. It just depends on where I'm at and how many people I'm in front of. I have people that buy 3 and 4 packs of things. And this is every day. New people as well as the old clients. Uh-huh. And I normally get back home around 12 or 1. I bake again for the next day. It's like a routine, something that I started, a little system going. So that way I kind of keep track of what I'm doing.
Well, applaud you again. So what industry do you serve? Is it, I guess, anybody? You can go to just about anybody and sell what you do, no? What do you have car dealership, construction sites? What do you do?
I go to the car dealerships. I go to different schools. I go to the hair salons, the barber shops. Sometimes I do go to neighborhoods, wherever my spirit, you know, needs me to go. It's called cold calling. Sometimes I call people on the phone. Like, as a matter of fact, I called a lady today and got some sales. So I met her up at the gas station before she went to work because she had already had gotten some things from me. So she bought some more things today. She got a cake the other day. A lemon pound cake with lemon glaze, and she loved it. And then when I called her today, she wanted more. So I went and sold her some more stuff, you know, today. Excuse me, not today. I'm sorry, the other day. But today I went to another client in Winston, and I had 2 whole baskets full. This is about over $200 worth, and this one lady bought everything. She has a group home she owns, and she bought from me before. So she surprised me today and bought everything in my basket, one person. So I sold out. I didn't even get to go to the other people. So that was pretty good.
And what do you specialize in so that our guests know and they can call you and get some of that? I've tried it myself. I love those. That's why I buy it on the show, those oatmeal raisin. Just don't let my family hear that I'm eating sweets. You know, but what else do you sell? What products can they get from you?
I do a lot of vegan food. I do organic. Organic is healthy. I like doing organic food because it's more healthier for you. I mean, as far as the snacks, it's still sweet, but it's not as sweet as you think it is. I give you a little bit of what I do. I do fudge brownies, chocolate chip cookies, peanut butter cookies, sugar cookies, lemon cookies. I create whatever kind of cookie you want. And I do blueberry oatmeal, cranberry oatmeal. I do pound cakes. I do muffins. I do pies. I also cook homemade delicious organic food, healthy. And I try my best not to use salt. And the food is still very tasty and flavorful. You know, so I talk to people and I just create things for them health-wise. So yes, that's what I am really into.
That's important because we suffer from, you know, just about, I think we're the leaders in most areas of illnesses in terms of our eating habits, you know. So whether it be diabetes or high blood pressure or this or that. So that's good that you're mindful of that and what you cook. And so you cater also?
Yes, I do events, birthday parties. I do families, homes. I go into the people. Since we're having the COVID-19, I haven't done a lot of that. But I still cook the food and I take it to them. And then they, you know, serve it to their guests. So it's a lot of ways to work around it until the system gets back, you know, hopefully normal. Then I could start doing the catering like how I used to do it. But for now, I create everything. I cook everything. And either they come and pick it up or I take it to them. Mm-hmm. Take it to them and then they, you know, they do the rest.
So is there a website up yet that people can order from you?
There's not a website, but I do have my phone number, and I have flyers that they can get. Menus. I have a menu. And as Lance Jones said, this is Jazzy Private Catering. I've been in business 5 years. And I'm looking to move up to the next level and do more things, you know. So mm-hmm. I have an open mind of learning a lot of things about the food and, you know, just different things.
Yeah, well, again, we all want to congratulate you because we were just talking about the fact that the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that African-American businesses, a great deal, about 20% of them fail in the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. So you're still here, which means you're doing something right. You're keeping that client happy. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say it's all about being persistent and, number one, keeping God first and mm-hmm. always praying and asking him to guide you, direct you, and just having an open mind and reading plenty of books and staying focused, you know.
What books did you read, if I can ask? We got some business owners out there. What business books did you read that helped you to get up and going and motivated you to get this thing done?
I read Walking by Faith. That was number one, Mr. Dudley's book, and then Think and Grow Rich. And then there was another book. It was another book he gave me. I can't remember the book. It's another book. It's called The Me Disease, but that's by someone else that gave me the book. The Me Disease book, A Spiritual Journey from Me to We. I've had a lot of books given to me to teach myself how to stay on the right path, stay strong, and keep growing. I can't think of the other books, but there was a lot of them.
If anyone has any questions, feel free to jump right in about her business, about business, what it takes to get that business up and going, kind of what some of the hurdles that you'll face in business. Some of you are sitting on the fence and made a New Year resolution for the last 5 years about how you're going to get started this year in the business. Now it's time. If you have any questions, please jump right in. This is the People Station. And so we don't own it. If you want to jump in, but even a different subject, feel free to do so. And so let me ask you, though, because I've read Think and Grow Rich, and I've read Walking by Faith. It's excellent, excellent books. More than just theory, it's practical applications that if you take what you read and put it and apply it to your life and your daily habits, there is such a thing called millionaire mindset. And so there are things that certain people do every day. They guard their time. They get up a certain time. If you're getting up, they got habits. You get up, you get out by 7 a.m. every morning, right? There's some people who do it earlier than that. And so I get it, and I want to encourage all of us, if you're unemployed right now, brothers and sisters, start a business. If you have any questions, Jazzy Private Catering will be up on our webpage, Melanin Live on Facebook. Reach out to her, place an order, and let us begin to continue to actually support each other. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. You were saying one last thing there.
Oh, no. I was going to say if my number is available, if you have a pen and pad, it is 336-423-6936. And if you do order, 24 hours is, a good time to give me, 24 to 48 hours. And I deliver. I come wherever you are. Everything's baked fresh every day. Okay.
And because she's on the show, you'll get 5% discount on everything you order. So order big. Your next event, call Jazzy Private Catering. And I thank you for joining us tonight. I really wanted to give you a shout out.
Thank you very much.
But stay on. We're talking our brother.
Sure.
We're talking Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just saying I'd like to jump in. You said jump in. I wouldn't normally do this. You said jump in.
Go right ahead, brother.
All right. First, I really enjoyed what the sister said, and being an entrepreneur myself, I really got a lot out of what she was saying in terms of her business. But what I'd like to ask you, Brother Lance, and then once you answer your question, I had some other people I told about this program, and I want to ask another brother to come in. I hope he's tuned in. But let me ask you, I don't know you, but from what I understand from Dr. Rogers and Sister Beniswa and some other people, that you have a business. Would you please tell me and your listening audience about your business, where it operates from, what it is, and et cetera?
Well, brother, thank you. And those ads that you hear on this station about Safe and Secure Worldwide Protection Group, I own it. I'm the president of it. My children, a couple of them either have worked for me or do work for me. We consider it a family-owned business. And we are blessed to be able to boast about our clientele, which ranges from the recent inauguration, 2021 inauguration of Biden-Harris, where we provided security services. President Obama, both of his, 28 and 2012, Democratic Convention. Even President Trump this year, the RNC called, and one of us, of course, it went virtual. We weren't able to really service them. Well, look at God. But anyway, we have uniformed officers, plainclothes officers. We do everything related to security and protection services. We also have a small janitorial service called Reaching for Eternity, janitorial service. We have several businesses. We recently installed boreholes in Sierra Leone. Our sisters there didn't have water. They had to walk 3 or 4 miles to get water and carry it back in the head. We were blessed to drill boreholes and bring the water up for our people there on the continent. And so we do this show, proud to do this show to encourage, uplift, and motivate our people to get involved.
Now, you mentioned Sierra Leone. Do you do anything else in any other parts of Africa? And if so, what parts of Africa and what do you do in those parts of Africa?
Well, we have right now we're doing boreholes. We'll be teaching STEM science technology to sisters, young ladies on the continent. I forgot where we're starting. We just met about that. We have a couple of STEM experts who are teaching, and we wanted to focus on our children, the sisters in particular. Whatever went into that choice that was made, they knew the continent better than my colleagues and partners knew the continent better than I did.
Do you do anything in Nigeria?
Yes, and we have some connections in Nigeria. We're currently, we were looking at building a facility in Nigeria. It was for the, we're going to manufacture some hair products with the Dudley Group. Anyway, we were going to partner with another group and go back into the continent and do some hair products and some other things like that. But so we're kind of diverse. We're all over the place.
Okay, and the reason I asked because I told several people about your program tonight. As a matter of fact, I told one brother who is a karate expert and who also works in security, and I told him about your program and about your business as much as I knew. And I also told another brother who has been to Africa, I guess, 25, 30 times, that he's working with the Ogoni people in Nigeria, and I hope he's listening. I don't know if he is or not, but I wanted to just ask you and the brother who I told about your program, about business that African-Americans can do with other African countries, such as Nigeria. What are some of the kinds of businesses that you think, or that some of your callers who are tuned in, the ones I told about the program, could suggest that African-American people can do in Nigeria and other parts of Africa in terms of business? what is that we can offer Africa in terms of business? That's really my question, and it can be for you and for some of your other listeners.
I certainly will defer to my guests because it is the people.
Okay, good. And I hope the people
ask it this way, if I may.
Okay.
That Africa, I've talked to, you know, met a couple, Rwanda, President Kagame, and the President of Ghana. My dear friend, Brother Mike Roberts, has been dubbed the king there over domestic, I think, business developer or something. And he's a brother out of Bahamas. But Africa's waiting for us. We have, our sojourn in America has prepared us in such a way that if we went back, went to Africa with the mindset of building, and many have, they will open their arms welcoming. That's what the former ambassador, Arakana Kuo, whom I know well, yeah, that was her job, and that's what she's doing now. She's bringing, they're building what's called, what is that, Kwanda City or something, I forget what we call it. Well, it was in that movie, that big city, but she's actually, they're preparing to build that now on the continent. So a city for black folks only, high tech. You know, I hope to get some of the contract, but it's so there's a lot going on, and we can serve Africa. One of the ways we do it is, and we're working on some things now, is that if you just want to serve the continent as a vendor, you can go to the United Nations marketplace, register there, and begin to dialogue via email. You become a vendor, put on a vendor's list, and they'll send you bids and things and services, goods and services you can provide to the continent and other parts, not just Africa, worldwide. And so when I named the company Safe and Secure Worldwide, I didn't know at that time, years ago, that it would happen that way. But you put into the ether, you put into the space that which you believe, and you work diligently in belief, and you can make it happen. I said that's what the sister did with her business, the catering business. And so the sky literally is the limit. Do you believe? That's the axiom. Do you believe? And if you believe, then let's get to work and make this a reality. But Africa, brothers and sisters, are waiting for us. They need the skill sets. They need our what we've learned in our 460-year sojourn in this place. The education we received, the trials, the challenges with others. They need that. So, and when you consider, you say, is there room to grow? And can you go there and build? Absolutely. In just a few years, 60% of the continent will be 35 and under, or 40 and under, the numbers were. Think about that. That's why with the STEM, science, technology, the STEM program, we're focusing on the sisters first. It's a big audience. Wide open field awaits a wide awake man or woman. Sisters are doing great things too. So let us return to Africa, make that phone call, get on the United Nations website tonight. And there will be people there waiting for you, often looking for your services. I need to speak by email. Hopefully you speak the language of get you a mediator, something. I mean, a go-between that could help bridge that language. But yes, brother, we can. And Africa is waiting for us, literally. Arakana Kuo is doing that. Africa's Brain Bank, who we had on the show. That's a network. Contact them, go to abb.com, africasbrainbank.org, africasbrainbank.org, and you can register there, and they'll plug you in with other people on the continent and in America here and other countries who are looking to do business black on black. And so those are just two resources. I serve as global ambassador for Africa's Brain Bank. And so I know that the resources are legitimate. They've been verified. And so, and we have a big event coming up in October. I think being one of our Black billionaires, Michael Roberts will be one of the hosts. George Frazier is going to be the speaker. And I think our new vice president, I don't know if she's accepted the invitation as yet, but if so, that'd be great. So it's going to be a Black affair, and it's going to be big. Heads of state from Africa. I'm going to invite all, and I'll keep everyone up to date. I'm going to invite all of you to be present. But I'm going to open a space up for others. We have about 3 minutes.
Okay, that's good. And I have a brother. I don't know if you, Brother Lance, if he's called in. A brother, like I said, who's doing business in Africa right now in terms of oil, the oil business. And his number is 910 is the way his number starts off, 305. And I hope he's tuned in because I'd like for him to respond to what I asked because he has a lot of business, a lot of information on business in Africa.
Dear brother, 910-305. Are you on? Okay, it must not be on yet. I did a little business in Africa with Money Like Crude Oil and making a commission. That was some years ago. I've been out of that business, but go ahead. Were you going to say something else there, brother?
Oh, no, I was just wondering, and I was hoping my brother would call in because he does business in Africa, and I gave him your number two or three times a day, and I've called him and texted him, and I was hoping he'd come in because he has a lot of input that he could offer, but like I say, he's 910-305, but you don't see his number coming up, so I don't know if he's sleeping or what, you know.
Yeah, well, I certainly appreciate you inviting him on, but that Bunny Light Crude Oil, I've had some experiences with that, but just have to be careful also when you're doing business with out of the country because they have different styles, different customs, different ways of handling business that you may not. So you have to do some studying and make sure things are real and that kind of thing. Someone else started to say something. Go ahead. You have a question about business or what we discussed earlier? Comment? Okay, so so that's the reality. We can do, Africa's waiting for you. I don't care what it is that you do, whatever business, service, or products you offer, Africa's waiting. Africa'sBrainBank.org, or you can go to United Nations Marketplace and register.
And you know, Brother Lance, since you mentioned it too, there's something, even though you mentioned women, there's something that I do personally which would be very inspirational, very motivational, and it would actually inspire not just women but African people in terms of STEM. I do a very, very, very good, exciting, exceptional lecture on African contributions to science, technology, and mathematics. And I don't know where you could use it, but I just want to throw that out, and you got my number. And I do that. I've done it at universities around the country in the United States. And that would be very good because most of the times when we talk about what you mentioned, STEM, which you know, stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, you don't hear a lot about our contributions. You hear about the Greeks and the Romans. But
I want to thank all of you for spending another glorious couple of hours with us here live on Melanin Live every Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9. And please, next week, invite all your friends and family. Until then.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back. much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hate.